Let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Genesis. Can I get a little bit more on this, or more on the speakers here? That'll help. Good. Thank you. Genesis chapter number 24. When I was first asked to come to the youth conference, what a privilege. I told Brother Wilkerson, it must have been a present from the Lord. Today's my 60th birthday, and to be able to spend a big birthday with the next generation. You know, I looked up this morning and I just told the Lord, thank you for that birthday present. And I did get this card from one of the staff members. It's one of those musical cards. And so I'm just going to open it and let you listen to the song, all right? So I'm glad that First Baptist used to have standards and the college used to have standards. And so I never tell you which staff member Rick Sparks that was. But we'd never talk about which one it was. So we're here today. How many of you got to bed after midnight? Probably most of you after midnight. After one? After two? After three? Who's not going to bed yet? A few of you. How many of you, if we dim the lights real low, play a little easy, listening to music, you could be asleep in about 5 minutes? Okay? Well, if you fall asleep during this session, we may dim the lights, all tiptoe out, play a trumpet, and you'll think you were left behind. And you could write a book or be in a movie home alone, in church alone or something like that. And so maybe we'll do that. Years ago, I was in Bible college. And a good friend of mine, author, fell asleep during Dr. Barber's Life of Christ class. And I shouldn't have done it. I don't know why I did this. I sit next to him, and he's just sound asleep. His head's on the desk. And I just poked him. I said, author, Dr. Barber, I ask you to dismiss in prayer. He just stood up. Dear Lord, we're thankful today for what we have heard. And just right in the middle of the lecture, he stood up and started praying. Dr. Barber just kind of backed up and just kind of watched him, and finally, he sat back down, and the whole class was laughing at him, and he looked at me and said, I'm going to kill you. And so he needed the spirit of revival. That's what he needed. So here we are. We're in Genesis chapter 24 for just a moment, and here we are. Someone said there were four couples at a breakfast table, four Bible college couples, guys and girl, boyfriend, girlfriend type thing, and one of the fellows was from West Coast. And he looked at his girlfriend and kind of looked at the table, and he said, pass the sugar, sugar. And she kind of grinned and passed him the sugar. About that time, a fellow from Golden State looked over and said, pass the honey, honey. And she passed the honey. And then there was a couple from Providence. That's Keith Gomez, the great white hunter. His college, and he looked around the table. He said, oh, pass the venison, deer. And so she passed the venison. About that time, it was a Hiles Anderson guy there, and it wasn't much left. And he's looking around, and he goes, oh, okay. Pass the tea bag. And so that's kind of what happened there. So how many of you girls at Hiles Anderson have already met that guy? You've seen him, but anyway. So when I was in Bible college, there was a couple of jokes that were outlawed. And one was this. The fellas would ask, what's the difference between a Hiles Anderson girl and a garbage can? And the answer is the garbage can gets taken out once a week. Then the girls came up with this one. The girl said, did you hear about the man-eating lion that came on the campus of Hiles Anderson? Someone said, no. He starved to death. So those were outlawed, and of course we could not tell them except at youth conferences like this. And so here we are. We're looking down in the book of Genesis for just a moment. Here we are. The background of the story is this. Abraham is getting ready to find a wife for his son Isaac. In the Bible days, the parents picked the mate. Can you imagine coming home from school one day and you say, hey, who's this in our house? It's your husband. It's your wife. Can you imagine? How many of you are glad your parents are not prearranging your marriage and you just walk in and surprise? Well, that's how they did it in the Bible days. So Abraham's concerned. He's about 99. His son is now 40. His son's 40. It's time to start dating. And so he sends Eliezer to a certain town. Eliezer prays and he says, Lord, how will I know who this woman is? And God shows him several signs. But let's look at just a couple of key verses. And let's stand, if you're able, please, just for a second. Genesis 24 and verse number 50, the Bible says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. Verse 51, so Rebekah did get a vote. Behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her, go, let her be thy master's wife, son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And verse 53, he gives her jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. He included her family. So finally she's asked, verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And think of this, girls, seriously. She didn't have a picture of Isaac. She had never spoken to him on the phone. She did not Skype him. It was just this servant saying, you'll love this guy. Will you marry him? Well, what's he look like? Well, let me tell you. Here's his stuff. Here's some gold. Here's new clothes. And you'll love him. So it was like sight unseen. It was all by faith. And it's a beautiful picture of salvation. The Holy Spirit uses the gifts of people, gives us the gospel. You'll love Jesus Christ. Accept him. Fall in love with him. So it's all by faith. And so notice what she says in verse 58. And she said, I will go. Verse 60, and they blessed Rebekah. Verse 61, Rebekah rose, her damsels, they rode upon the camels and followed the man. Verse 63, Isaac went out to meditate. That means pray in the field and evening time. He's praying. And the last phrase, verse 63, and the camels were coming. So here he is. He's saying, Lord, who should I marry? And in the distance, this caravan of camels is coming. And she's on the camel. She lights off the camel, the Bible says. First time smoking's ever mentioned in the Bible. She lights off her camel. Anyway, but she gets off that camel. She's got a veil on. By the way, guys, if she keeps the veil on, don't date her. There's a reason. Make sure she takes that veil off. You get a good look. And so they end up getting married. So I want to speak this morning for a few moments on this subject. The camels are coming. The camels are coming. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Your future husband, your future wife, they're on the camel right now. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming to a city nearby you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these young people. Wonderful futures you have for them. I pray you'd help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. More of a lecture than really a sermon this morning. Outside of salvation, the greatest decision you will ever make will be who you marry. Someone said the shoe will fit. Now, I'm not much into Anne of Green Gables. I've never seen it. I'm not much into the fairy tales, the latest Disney movie. I think the last one I saw was Wizard of Oz or something like that. And all I remember, sometimes I get them mixed up. There was something about this good-looking guy, his name was Beauty, and he was dating this girl. Her name was Beast, and somehow there was this great big pumpkin, and at midnight, the fangs started growing, and she started walking back. She looked like the living dead and lost her tennis shoe, and finally, he's trying to find who that shoe, something like that, glass slipper, I guess, but finally, he found the one that shoe fit. I think it's Cinderella, and here's how it works. Whoever you end up marrying, the shoe will fit. God is the perfect matchmaker. 7 billion people on planet Earth, He knows exactly who would be best for you. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent means matched. God is the great matchmaker. So we're going to talk about that subject for just a few moments. In fact, with our boys, when they were, when Stephen, our son, was single, he attended college here. We just had 3 rules for a future wife. We said, now, fellas, she's got to be beautiful. And by the way, fellas, she'll always be beautiful to you. And that's all that matters. And she needs to be spiritual. And we'd really like if she's wealthy. And so we said, now, go to Bible college. Go get her. And so Stephen called us one day and he said, Dad, I'm real interested in this girl. I said, all right, here's the 3. He says, she is spiritual. I said, that's 1. She is beautiful. And I said, now, how about the other one? And get this, Dad, her last name is Rich. I said, that's it right there. And he married her. I want to give you several introductory statements. If you want to jot down some notes, you can. Number one, marriage is good. We hear all these horror stories. You know, he beat her up and he killed her. And one time my wife showed me a cartoon. This woman had just shot her husband about 20 times and holes in him and the gun smoking. And the caption says, "And I loved you so much." I told my wife, I pointed to the cartoon. I said, "Don't love me this much." But we hear all these horror stories. But the Bible says marriage is good. God created it. Second, anyone can get married if they stoop low enough. So the goal is not to get married, it's to marry the right one. Number three, beauty is vain. The Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You say, what's that mean? Don't just be attracted just by beauty or just by brawn. How come? People change. Try going to your 25th anniversary. Everyone's there. It's like, look at him. Look at her. So, woo, man, saved by the bell. Years ago, I was in Africa preaching and also hunting a little bit. I was shooting a gun and Pumbaa ran right in front of the bullet. Hit him, did a backflip. He now lives in my house. And for a while, Pumbaa lived in my office, those great big ugly tusks and warts coming out of him. And I put some Mardi Gras beads on the tusks, and it looked real pretty. An attractive girl came in my office. She said, "Well, what's this all about?" I said, "That's you." She said, "What?" I said, "You're the beautiful beads with the Pumbaa brain." She's not been back in a while. So anyway, heard about this woman. She was walking down the sidewalk past a pet store, and they had a talking parrot. She walked past the parrot, and he said, "Hey, lady." She looked. He said, "You are ugly." Oh, she got upset. She walked to work, came back same way that day, and he said, "Hey, lady, you are ugly." She got so upset, went into the pet store owner, complained, said, "That parrot better never say that again or else." She comes back the next morning, and that parrot, sure enough, speaks up, says, "Hey, lady." She looks. He says, "You know." Next, it boils down to trust. This thing of dating or courting, whatever you want to call it, betrothal. What do you mean? Trust who? Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, in the old time when women trusted God. And that was the old time. Here's what that means. Is God big enough, the one that spoke and formed the worlds, the one that sent his son to die for you, the one that inspired the word of God, is he big enough to give you the right person? Is he big enough? Do you trust him enough? Or do you have to go online, lonelychristians.com? Good looking girl, spiritual, interested in good. Please call me. Here's my number. Is he big enough, or do you have to pursue? And who's the new guy in the youth group? Give him my phone number and tell him to call. Here's my Facebook account. Do you have to chase and finagle and go to nightclubs and go to dances and go to concerts to find the right one? No. God's got your phone number. He's got your address. He knows where you live. He is big enough. He can bring them to your church. He can bring them to your Bible college. God is the greatest matchmaker in the world. It boils down to trust. Quickly, use the authorities in your life. Use the authorities in your life. You say, what's that mean, Pastor? Well, here's how it kind of is. In the olden days, and sometimes even today, what happens is a girl or a guy get interested in each other. They start calling or Skyping, FaceTime, or whatever, and they start building this relationship. They get to know each other, and pretty soon, man, I think I love her. Then we say, we ought to introduce her or him to mom and dad. It's the wrong order. You need to begin with the authorities in your life, your parents. You say, well, what if your parents are not godly? Let your youth pastor and his wife or the pastor. You say, well, how come? Because they love you. See, dad can spot a wolf. Mama can spot a Jezebel. You say, well, what do they know? They've got a little years of experience on you. They've seen a lot of cause and effect. You would do wise to include your parents. You'd be very wise to include your youth pastor. I've had teenage girls in the past come to me and say, "Pastor, I don't have a dad, or I'm not close to my dad. Would you please let me run by any potential suitors to you first?" I said, "I'll be glad to talk to them." They'd come by and they'd say, "I'd like to date Sandra." And I'd say, "Well, you can sit by her in chapel once, then we'll have a talk." Second time, I'd say, "Tell me every thought you've ever thought. Have you ever looked at pornography? How many hours a day have you read the Bible?" Man, I just drill them. And I just figured if they could pass the test, maybe they could date one of our girls. We told our girls, it's kind of like this. We said, "Charity, Faith, there'll be a corral like the Western days. We will herd all the potential horses into the corral. You can pick anybody you want to marry, but right now there's no one in your corral." Our daughter Charity actually took a picture in front of an empty corral like this. "Here's my dating life. It's empty." Solomon taught his son this in the book of Proverbs. He said, "My son, give me thine heart." Solomon said to his son Rehoboam, "I can teach you about work habits and friends and money. I can teach you all these things, but when it comes to dating or the opposite gender, I can't teach you anything. You're going to have to just give me your heart, because the hormones and the emotions, it's not going to make any sense to you." So the dating years are like landmines. Let parents help you know where to step, lest you blow up your life. I love to hunt. I've just started doing this in the last 10 years or so. I'd never, ever killed a whitetail buck deer until several years ago. I was driving to teach at a Bible college. I'm on 6 lanes of traffic. It's 5:00 in the morning. I'm in Dublin, California. There's an 8-foot fence. There's a city. Then there's 6 lanes of traffic, a 6-foot fence. 6 lanes of traffic, a 6-foot fence. I'm in the city. 5:00 in the morning, I'm driving. All of a sudden, a great big buck, great big rack appears in front of my car. He had come from the city, jumped over 8-foot fence, 6 lanes, another fence, and jumped just in time to turn and see who was killing him. And I hit him at 75 miles an hour, and he splattered and went everywhere. I got to the college. Someone said, "Did you save the horns? Did you save the meat?" I said, "Did I save me?" Now, why was that buck walking on the highway? He smelled a doe. Doe, and he started singing, "Doe a deer, a female deer." And he jumped over the fence. It was mating season. He smelled the opposite gender, and that's all he was thinking about was her. And then his life was wrecked. Give your heart to your parents. Give your heart to your leaders. "Hey, brother so-and-so, what do you think about so-and-so?" "He's a Hitler." "Okay, that's all I need her to know." "What do you think about so-and-so?" "She's a witch." "All right, that's all I need to know." "What do you think about?" That's how you do it. So what do you look for? If you want to take notes, here we go. We don't have a lot of time. Most important, what would you think it would be? Don't answer out loud. Most important future marriage prospect, what do you look for? Here it is. Number one, the opposite gender. Who would ever thought we'd have to say that? Or we could call this lecture "Boy Meets Girl." We don't, even in California, I don't call this "Boy Meets Boy," "Girl Meets," no, it's "Boy Meets Girl." Adam and Eve, God established that. Now, not everyone's going to get married. Some people may not be interested in that, and that's fine. You're not weird if you're not flipped over the opposite gender right now. But if you marry, it's opposite gender. Number two, right with authority. If they're not right with mom and dad, right with God, you don't want them. You never want to marry a rebel. They never get blessed. If he's a rebel and can't follow authority, he'll never climb the ladder at work. He'll never make good money. If she is not right with authority, fellas, she's not going to follow you. They have to be right with their authority. Number three, no ditch sins. D-I-T-C-H, no ditch sins. You get your car in a ditch, it's hard to get out. Some sins are harder to get out of than others. Here they are. They start with the letter L, lust. And by the way, girls, if he can't control his eyes when he's in the mall with you, he's sure not controlling them when he's not with you. Here's another one, lying. Well, she lies a lot, but she's a good Christian. Really? Laziness. He's never had a job yet, but I just think at age 40, when the right job comes by, here's another one, losing it. Temper. Well, what's all those dents in your car? Well, I get mad and kick the car. If he's kicking the car now, he's going to be kicking you later. Here's another one, liquor. Now look, you don't date and marry someone to rehabilitate them. Dating and courting is not a ministry. It's not, well, he's a mass murderer, he's spent half his life in jail, he's all tattooed up, but I think if I just start dating him, I can help him. Someone needs to help you mentally. No dit sins. Quickly, character. Can he work? Girls, you want a work man, not a playboy. Are you listening? And that goes for ministry too. It's called the work of the ministry, the work of the evangelist. It's a lot of work. And fellas, you want to make sure she can cook. Can she bake a cherry pie, Billy boy, Billy boy? Can she bake a cherry pie, Charming Billy? No, she's too busy doing her nails and her hair and makeup too. You're a skinny little Billy. The girls, I know what's on your mind right now. I can't read minds, but just being around young people, I know what's on your mind right now. Here it is, boys. And fellas, I know what's on your mind right now. Food. Had a friend of mine raised in foster care. They'd eat food out of cans, never had decent meals. He finally falls in love with this girl and he says, can you cook? She says, uh-huh. He said, hot meals? She said, uh-huh. Toast. Girls, toast is not a hot meal. Hot pockets are not a hot meal. Top ramen is not a hot meal. We did this. We put a menu on our refrigerator when our girls were growing up. We told our two daughters, we will not let you marry if you cannot cook everything on this list. And we're serious. I'm not going to have a bitter son-in-law. She's so beautiful. She loves God. And I'm starving. You girls are thinking, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal. He wants breakfast and lunch and supper. He wants a hug and a hamburger when he gets home. Not always in that order. I mean, it's going to be like, he's going to come home from work and say, good to see you. And he's going, what's for supper? That's how it goes. If you don't believe it, God made Adam, put him in a garden so he could eat. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isaac is dying. He's going to give the blessing to his son. He says, go kill something so I can eat before I die. It's a huge thing. Get this, girls. That menu, someone said, well, I spoke at a camp this summer. They said, can I get a copy of that menu? I ran out of them. I put 200 on my table over here. They're free. Not the books, but the menus are. So if you'd like to go by, one girl picked one up and said, I'm going to do two of these. Out of 58, I can only do two. One girl says, God, I got 56 of them already down. I was going to marry her right there to somebody. Quickly, attentiveness in church. Are they attentive in church? If they're not listening to him, they're not going to listen to you. And fellas, some of you are going to marry a girl. That's going to make her a pastor's wife or a youth pastor's wife. One day you're going to be preaching. You're going to say, the Bible says, and you're going to hear, attentiveness. Number next, we're hastening. Fun. See, part of our title is we are independent, fun. The mental list. Fun. Came home from church one day and someone had given me a coffee mug and it had a rooster for the handle. It says, I rule the roost. I put it on the table. I said to my wife, I said, look at this. They know who runs this family. She said, they gave me one too. It had a hen for the handle. It says, I rule the rooster. We were on this alligator hunt, my son and I, Jonathan. He was 10 years of age. My wife was real uptight and nervous. She says, don't let anything happen to Jonathan. I said, look, babe, we're just going to be in a bayou filled with alligators. I mean, what could happen? I got there, I had one bar on my phone. I called her, and I said, we're in the swamp. She says, how's Jonathan? And it just came out. I said, he fell in the river. Alligator bit his hand off. But he's all stitched up. He's fine. It was silence. Several years later, my daughter Faith had her wisdom teeth out. I was out of town, and I called. I said, how's Faith doing? How's she feeling? My wife said, the ambulance just left the house. I said, what? She said, we couldn't stop the bleeding. She said, how's that feel after that alligator 4 years ago? How you like that? Next, look at their family. You say, but Pastor Ray, I'm not marrying their family. Oh, yes, you are. Every reunion, every birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're going to be the grandparents of the kids. Here's what that means. If you look at their family and this little song comes to your mind, you're in trouble. Da-da-da-dun. Da-da-da-dun. You're in trouble. I want to say this to the girls. I know you watch a lot of videos and movies. We guys, we'll be watching McGregor whip up on Mayweather in just a few weeks. But that's the kind of stuff we watch. By the way, I think Brother Roy Moffitt could whip both of them in the same cage. I think that person. So we don't watch all these movies. I know you girls watch the movie where it's the ending and it's this kiss, this long kiss, and he swoops her down. And she's stroking her fingers through his hair as he's kissing her. Now, girls, listen. If that kind of kiss and stroking your fingers through his hair is a big deal to you, you better look at that boy's daddy. Does he have any hair? 4 stages of hair growth. Bald, fuzz, is, was. That's how that is. Quickly, nothing physical. So if you want to get the right person, nothing physical. There's this 6 inches psychologists say belongs to you. Around your body, we feel like we own it. That's kind of where we get that little saying, the 6-inch rule. It's not in the Bible, but it's just a principle. You get in someone 6 inches, and either it makes them angry like the boxers, or it makes them sensual. That's why if you're a singer, when you sing, don't swallow the microphone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You don't want that. It's sensual. It's nightclubbish. It's like you're too close to them. The Bible says good for a man not to touch a woman. If you're speaking, don't put your hands on the opposite gender. Just speak. Now, if the girl misses a step, flips down the stairs, don't just say, praying for you. God bless you. Can't touch you. Pick the girl up. Bring her to the ambulance. Just show you this real quick. And here's a confession. We have to hurry. Cracker Jacks. Remember? Baseball. Food. Take me out. You know the thing. So here it is. Here's the confession. I have never eaten a whole box of Cracker Jacks. No character. I always opened it and took out the, it had to be at the bottom, didn't it? And took out the prize. I'll clean this up next week. And took out the prize. Soon as I got the prize, I was done. Girls, most guys, they don't really want you. They don't want your personality. They don't want your spirituality. It's just, how quick can I get what I want? Done with her, let me find another box. That's the difference in lust and love. Love lasts. Lust passes real fast. That's why the movie stars and rock stars can't keep a mate. It's this person, that person, that person, this divorce, this. It's got to be love. Only God can give you that. Hands off. Don't touch me. Quickly. We're almost out of time. Home is the testing ground. Can't get along with parents. Can't get along with siblings. You're not going to get along with a mate the rest of your life. That's why we have Bible college roommates. You say, what's that about? To prove, yes, there is a purgatory. You can't get along with roommates who switch every semester. How are you going to get along with a mate for 40 years? It's the testing ground. Next, how do they treat the poor? What's that person? Are they kind to the poor? Are they snobby? Are they mean? Are they stuck up? Are they a soul winner? Similar backgrounds. If you're raised in church, don't marry the mass murderer. It's just too much difference. If you are poor your whole life and raised with the roaches, don't marry the marry him. Anyway, number next. We're out of time. I just testify and then we're done. So here I am. I was married before I came to Bible college to the bus ministry. Now, I was that Bible college student here. I didn't make any of the teen activities, the college activity. I didn't have time. It was work all week, throw the books down Friday night, on the bus route all day Saturday, preaching in junior church, Sunday school, night bus, fall asleep in class, listen attentively Monday morning in class. And man, it was just no time for girls. My last year of college, I was in my master's degree. I was hired. I'm going to be a youth pastor. And it was one girl in the college I had noticed for 3 years. I watched her, but had never dated her. You say, how come? Guys hate rejection. It's hard being a guy. Will you go with me to the banquet? No. Rejection's hard. Be easy on them, girl. At least, look, girls, at least look at the guy and say, you got good taste. I was out soul winning one time, knocked on a door in this Philippine. How many Filipinas in here? Filipinas? Filipinas? Good. Salamat po. And so I knocked on the door, and I've been cussed out a lot, been bitten by dogs, pushed down flights of stairs, all this. And so I knocked on the door and said, I'm the pastor from, she said, you. And I knew she was going to cuss me. You are the, I'm getting ready, most handsome specimen of a man I have seen in a long time. Would you like to come in? I said, I better not. I better not. I came home that day, I told my wife about it, and she started laughing. For weeks, she'd say, you are the most handsome. So I work up all the courage I have. Verna Weymouth from Maine is in my class, and I said, Verna, she goes, what? Never really talked to her much. I said, would you sit with me in chapel today? She goes, what? I said, sit, chapel, me. Okay. We sat in chapel like the first couples. No one amen shouts. It's just, you're just nervous. And I said, man, I'd like to get to know her. So would you like to play tennis sometime this week? By the way, girls, let the guy win. Let the guy win. You're playing checkers, you're playing chess, you're playing Monopoly, you're playing hopscotch. Let him win. You say, well, I whipped him, and you're going to be an old maid. Let him win. Anyway, I won. We went to the Singspiration where you eat the hot dogs and you sing. She put the hot dog in the fire and it fell off on the ground. She picks it up, wipes it off on her skirt. She said, it ain't too dirty. Puts it back in a hot dog. I said, now that's the woman for me. That's a Louisiana girl. Wasn't long after that. I mean, I was flipping over her. By the way, you marry someone, you were totally flipped over. I walked her just right over here to the bus on a Sunday night, and I said, "Verna, I love you." And she said, "That's nice." And I said, "Does she have hearing? I mean, is she in the deaf department? I mean, what's?" I said, "I love you." She said, "That's nice." Went back to the dorm that night, got on my knees. "Oh, God, help this woman have a revival. Oh, God, help her fall in love with me." Finally, the next week, we walk her back to the bus again, and I said, "I love you." And she said, "I love you too." It's when I pulled off the jacket, my cape came out, flew all the way back to the dorms that night. Remember asking Brother Hiles, I said, "What do you think? Should I marry her?" He says, "Has she said I love you yet?" I said, "Yes, this week." "Okay." And back then, girls, when you bought an engagement ring, you also gave them a microscope so they could see the diamond. Two of my kids have been engaged on top of the top tower of the Golden Gate Bridge. One has been engaged in a hot air balloon flying over Napa Valley. I mean, how do we top that? Next two will be engaged on the moon or something. I don't know. In my day, you were walking to McDonald's. You just said, "You want to marry me?" I mean, that's about as romantic as it got. We didn't have any money. So I'm walking her around the lake at the college. There used to be a little bridge. About 1 foot off the water. Many people jumped off, committed suicide. And after finals. So we sat on the bridge, and here's kind of how it ended. And girls, if he doesn't get on his knee, don't say yes. Because you're going to want him to beg most of his life. Anyway, so I said something like this. I said, "Look over there." And then I got on my knee. And I know this is corny, but this is like 38 years ago. And I said, "Verna, God has called me to preach. I'm a preacher. Preachers give invitations." This is sad. It is very lame. "I am about to give an invitation, and I only want one person to respond." And I'd already decided, if she said, "That's nice," she was going in the lake, man. And I said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "I will." And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. Babe, would you stand, please? I love you so much. 37 years. So the encouragement is this. Maybe right now you're not dating anybody. Okay. I mean, you're seventh grade. Where's it going to take you? We're running off to McDonald's. Really? I mean, what can he buy you, girls? A Starbucks? You wait till you get to Bible college. You're going to look around. Instead of 20 fish in the sea in your youth group, 10 guys, 10 girls, you get to Bible college like here, and it's going to be, there's 400 of them. And a lot of choices. And God right now has put somebody on the camel. I used to tell our girls, the guy, they said, yes, dad, yeah, the guy. I said, "You're going to marry." Yes. Who is it? And they'd say, "Dad, who is it? The guy we're going to marry is." I said, "Probably." They said, "Probably who?" I said, "Probably already alive." So men and ladies here today that are single, God probably has them on the camel right now. You may have met them. You may not have even met them yet, but they're heading your way. If you'll be out in the field praying and spending time with him and doing some of these things we talked about, one day you'll be able to say, "It's been the happiest days of my life, married to the love of my life." And you'll be glad that you did.